This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Coming your way live this morning, straight from the emergency room, Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor. How are you, Dr. McCabe?
Hey, I'm doing good, Scott. How are you? It's hard to believe it's the second Monday of December already.
I know it. It is. Man, the month has already started to fly by, but the whole year in general has flown by.
Yeah, this time especially because we have one less week before Thanksgiving to Christmas than we usually do. So everybody's got to get it all together early.
That's right. So when we were on the phone right before, you know, during that commercial break there, you said something about the emergency room. What kind of calls do you get at the emergency room when it's related to the eyes? I'm curious because there's so many different injuries out there.
That's a good question. So let's reframe that question. Let's reframe it for what kind of symptoms should you go to the emergency room for?
Even better.
That'd be more valuable, wouldn't it? So things that my staff is trained on when they call our office to get someone in right away that day is if they've had sudden vision loss, if they've had significant sudden pain, or if their eye is very red all of a sudden. Those are all the symptoms of eye problems that indicate there could be an ocular urgency or perhaps even emergency to be seen. Those things would include, with the vision loss, a retinal detachment, could be a stroke, the blood vessels in the retina. Now, those do not make your eye red or hurt, but they do cause sudden vision loss. Another thing would be if you have acute glaucoma, which is the call I answered this morning, and that makes your eye very red all of a sudden, causes the intraocular pressure inside the eye to double or triple, and that's what causes the sudden onset of significant pain. And then any combination of those things, sudden redness, sudden vision loss, or significant sudden pain, those are the three symptoms that make an eye doctor, you know, I don't know what the phrase is, kind of raise their antennae all of a sudden and say, oh boy, this patient's got to be treated sooner and faster, because at those points, a saying I have is that time is vision. So that's something that shouldn't wait. You know, if you have a corresponding thing would be like if you have sudden onset of confusion, if you have sudden onset of weakness in your arms and legs, a facial droop on one side, those are indications of a stroke. And we have clot buster medications that we can give to patients if they fit certain criteria. And one of those is that they present from the time of symptoms to the emergency room within about 4 hours. So those kind of things, you don't say, we'll see if it gets better in a few hours. You know, we'll see if it's better by tomorrow. Those are things that you need to immediately act on. And those are also things I would think by most people's common sense, you know, it's not normal for your eye to have sudden pain without, you know, any trauma, getting something in it, anything like that. It's not normal for one of your eyes to suddenly turn red and the other one's fine. It's not normal to suddenly lose vision, to suddenly lose control of your arms or legs, have that weakness, that difficulty thinking, talking. Those are things that you need to go in and get seen for right away.
Definitely so. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe on air with us this morning. When you start talking about the sensory organs, you know, seeing things, for example, with your eyes or feeling something or hearing noises, hearing different things, you know, out of everything, I really think with the vision, if all of a sudden you're faced with sudden blindness for whatever reason, and obviously you need to seek medical care right away, but whenever that hits you, I can't think of a more claustrophobic type feeling.
Well, you know, I guess what I'm trying to get across is that if you have something present and the way you feel or your loved one does that is completely not normal, don't wait on that. That may be something that you want to take care of right away before more damage or irreparable damage occurs.
What do patients say if they are going through something like this and they do head straight to the ER, or they call an ambulance, whatever the case may be? What do they tell you if they are facing just, you know, they can't see anything? What types of feelings are they having in addition to that?
Well, what's interesting about it is we, almost all of us, like 98%, have one dominant eye and one non-dominant eye. Now, if you're right-handed, 95% of right-handed people are right eye dominant. If you're left-handed, still 50% of people are right eye dominant. And by dominance, that means that your brain is preferentially taking most of its vision information from that dominant eye. As a result, if one of these significant things happened to your non-dominant eye, you may not notice it. But if you cover up your dominant eye, which is usually your right eye, then you'll say, oh my gosh, what has happened to my vision in that left eye, or whatever it may be. So if you have a question about your vision in some way, and I almost think everybody should just do it right now that's not driving or operating heavy machinery, just cover up one eye, look in the distance. Now, you should have your glasses on if you wear glasses for distance. And then cover up the other one. Look in the distance. See if you can read a sign or read the menu screen on the TV or whatever it is, some kind of letters in the distance. They make you focus the most intently. And if you notice a big difference between two eyes, and that's unexplainable, so an eye doctor hasn't told you, oh, it's because you've got a cataract in an eye or you've got something else in that eye, whatever it may be. So this is totally a new symptom, a new finding. You need to get that checked out. Now, if it's something that you can tell 10 minutes ago it wasn't this way, then that's when you have that urgency to go see an eye doctor.
Again, Dr. Craig McCabe. It does. Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us. We just had a text question kind of related to all of this. They're asking, if someone is completely blind, what do they actually see? Do they see like a black darkness? Or is it white light? What exactly do they see?
Okay. So first of all, let's talk about the legal definition of blindness in Tennessee and the contiguous states around us. And that is that your best seeing eye with the best correction or glasses you can wear is 20/200 vision or worse. Remember, that's your best eye with the glasses on. That's the definition of legal blindness in our state. Now, you can still see doorways and people and colors and things like that, but you can't read the newspaper, you can't read a street sign, you can't read the menu on the TV, all those kind of things. There's also a second alternative definition to legal blindness in the state of Tennessee, and that is that you have tunnel vision. So you have 20 degrees or less of vision, and these people, they may see a perfect 20/20, being able to read that lowest line on the eye chart. However, if they get up to walk around, they're going to run into things on the side like crazy and bruise their knees and hips and shoulders and everything else. So it's not just if you can't read things in the distance, it's also your field of view. Now, that is most affected by a disease called glaucoma, and it can also be significantly affected if you've had a retinal detachment or a stroke in the eye. All these kind of things can affect your field of view, and you may see good right in front of you, but you can't see anything off to the side, so you're not safe to drive. And if you have one of these conditions and you're experiencing that, then those people will tell you they have to turn their head left and right all the time, continue to scan so they can see what's in that tunnel of vision that's around them. So that's the definition of legal blindness. Now, there's a big difference between that, of course, and not being able to see anything, which unfortunately too many people in our community, in our state, around the world have. And that is where the vision progressively dims and gets dimmer and dimmer till it goes black. And if I hold the brightest light that I have in my office, and people will tell you I've got some super bright lights, and they can't even tell that there's a light 3 inches in front of their eye, that's called no light perception. And that's when everything is black. And so depending on where you are on the spectrum of legal blindness, you may be able to see good right in front of you, but not off to the side, or you may not be able to speak clearly anywhere, but you have good side vision, or your vision may be dimming to, unfortunately, blackness. And the important thing about this, and that's why we're talking about getting immediate care for these problems, is that the optic nerve and the retina are actually part of the brain, the central nervous system, like the brain and spinal cord. And that tissue, that's the last frontier of medicine, is to get the brain and spinal cord to be able to regenerate. As you know, we can't replace parts there like we can the rest of the body, and they don't heal. So the optic nerve and the retina is the same way. Damage to those is permanent. But for some situations, we have a time window. And that may be just an hour to 2 days before you start getting some permanent vision loss. And that's why you want to get these things looked at immediately. And you're not going to know, because many of these do not hurt. And if it's your non-dominant eye, you may not even notice it, because your dominant eye may be seeing just fine and doing most all of your vision. So it's always good to check both sides. But if you have sudden pain, sudden loss of vision, or extreme redness with any combination of these, you should go see the eye doctor within a few hours.
Had another question texted in. It says, my brother, who is 55, has been completely blind all of his adult life. However, he could see when he was a teenager, but that did not last. And he has, again, been completely blind all of his adult life. What new technology is available that could possibly help him in some way?
Well, you have to know the diagnosis. If he had a congenital disorder, a common one where they lose their peripheral vision, they lose their night vision, typically starting as a teenager and gets much worse in their 20s, something like that. One of them's called retinitis pigmentosa. Big name, but you lose your photoreceptors, the rods and cones with which we perceive light in our retina in the back of our eyes, with time. Or there may be other congenital diseases. There's ones that start in the center and go out some. Leber's optic neuropathy, which is hereditary. That's the most common genetic one, typically affecting young boys. But there are various different ones. But the lesson from this is, if you have a heritable or something that can be passed on eye disease, specifically affecting people when they're younger, you need to go see the eye doctor when you're young. Now, you don't have any control of this, so the parents need to know this, because they need to bring their child in for regular eye exams if this runs in the family. Now, by far the most common one, which is actually treatable, is called amblyopia. And that's where there's a difference in the vision between the two eyes. And maybe that one eye is very farsighted or very nearsighted, and the other one doesn't need much glasses at all. When there's a huge difference in the refraction and you're very young, you know, 0 to 6, this can be treated and prevent permanent vision loss in that child. And there's probably people listening now that say, you know what, I have that amblyopia. And, you know, 60, 70 years ago, hardly anyone checked it. Hardly anyone knew about it. But now the pediatricians, the obstetricians, all this will do some testing to help diagnose these things as early as possible. some of these diseases are very treatable and manageable and save vision, and others that are genetic, we do not have, unfortunately, a treatment for, like we do most genetic diseases.
Do a lot of these occur starting at birth?
Yes. Or within the first year. You know, babies can be born with cataracts. And now that's, you know, I told you about this refractive amblyopia. There's two other forms of it besides where there's a difference in glasses prescription. There is strabismic amblyopia. And this is where they have a lazy eye. One eye is turned out or usually in, so they're not looking at the same place. A third one is called occlusive, and this is where one eye has a blockage from light coming through to it. And that can be a cataract, or more importantly, can be a tumor inside the eye in the retina called a retinoblastoma. This typically gives a whitish color to the pupil rather than dark. But this is something we look for right away because that can spread to the brain or to the other eye. You can have just very significant problems with it. So there are these inherited diseases, and there are ones you can be born with that develop maybe 0 to 2 years old, and they need to be taken care of promptly.
So when it comes to looking at newborns and trying to figure out if they may or may not have an eye-related problem, are these detected by the pediatrician that first year or two, or are they actually, you know, found in the emergency room, let's say, as the mother, right after the mother gives birth? When do they usually find whatever the problem may be, and how do they find it?
Well, every mom will pretty much tell you that the doctor, usually the obstetrician, or maybe it's a neonatologist, depending upon the situation of the birth, that they'll do these Apgar scores right when they're born and a few minutes later. And you look to see that they're getting better. The baby's breathing on its own, you know, is pink and healthy and moving its limbs and everything like that, has a good heartbeat. And they'll check for those. And then typically, before they leave the hospital a day or two later, they'll get their eyes looked at as well. If you have one of these diseases that run in the family that affect young children, then I'd say, you know, by 2 months, you need to have a pediatric ophthalmologist, someone who specializes in these childhood eye diseases, also check your child. If you do not have anything that runs in the family like that, the eyes look normal, the pupils look normal, it's looking around, they move together, then usually you can wait a few years on that. But if you have something that runs in the family, then it requires more careful follow-up from birth.
Let's try to fit in one more text question here before we head to the break. And this next one says, I'm 32 years old and I've never been prescribed glasses. However, I've had to start using readers that I buy at the drugstore. Are these bad for my eyes and doing more damage than good?
So typically when you need help for up close vision and you are less than 40 years old, and your eye may be of perfectly normal health, but you have a diagnosis called latent hyperopia, most commonly. You also can have a convergence insufficiency, which we'll talk about in a minute. But latent hyperopia means that you're actually farsighted. And when you're 10, 20 years old, during that time, your eye has enough strength and power and be able to change the shape of the lens in the eye, which is called accommodation, to be able to see up close. But then as we get older, the lens actually starts to become a cataract that doesn't block our vision, but makes it so that we can't change the shape of it, which is required to see up close. Now, this happens to everybody when they're in their mid-40s, late 40s, everybody. But if you're having to wear reading glasses at a younger age, you probably have undiagnosed latent hyperopia, which is easily and commonly diagnosed when you have a dilated eye exam and check the glasses prescription after you're dilated. Now, unfortunately, many places we go to get glasses quickly, and we're considering that a thorough eye exam, do not check these things. and so it may go undiagnosed, and hence the name of latent. But you're farsighted, maybe three quarters, a diopter and a half, you know, some small amount of farsightedness. And because you need glasses in the distance, reading becomes even harder. But when you're younger, your eye can strain and accommodate and overcome it. And then as we get older, it can't. This happens to everybody in their 40s, but can happen earlier if that goes undiagnosed. It's not anything that's going to hurt your eyes or anything, but it's going to give you a lot of eye strain and difficulty reading, especially things up close. So you just need to have a dilated eye exam, and that should correct it.
Again, Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us this morning. You can text him any questions you may have at 615-893-1450. Dr. McCabe's office is on Heritage Park Drive right here in the borough. And Dr. McCabe, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll come right back to get to some of these questions here.
Great.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Santa Claus is coming to Animal City. Santa will be here Saturday, December 14th from 12 to 3. We are proud to be hosting Music City Animal Rescue and their lovely Santa Claus. Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. You'll find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street right here in Murfreesboro. Come get pictures with your pets of all types and your family and benefit a great cause. That's Saturday, December 14th at Animal City on Broad Street. We'll see you there.
Big benefits at Adams Place.
We have a driver who's here from 8 to 4. He will take you anywhere you need to go.
That's Charlotte Gardner.
It's really a big plus getting around when you do not drive.
Move to Adams Place and leave the driving to us.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
On Memorial.
Across from Walmart.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Today we are joined by Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor here in Murfreesboro. Dr. McCabe, we have another question to get to here, actually really just a statement. It says here, my wife kept encouraging me to go to the eye doctor. I finally did, and I got a prescription, the very first prescription I've ever had for glasses, and now I'm wearing glasses at 45. And honestly, I never knew vision should and could be like this. That's kind of funny. But I bet you get people all the time who tell you, I've never worn glasses, and I'm amazed.
Oh, well, you forget so much about your life growing up, all the many things that have happened to you. But hardly anyone forgets the moment they put on their first pair of glasses and they see the leaves on the trees so clearly they can read license plates in front of them and they just like to look around. And night is so much more beautiful with all the lights, and that's one of those emotional things, and memory is tied to emotion, I believe. And so people remember that, and they may forget a lot of other important things, but they remember that first pair of glasses. And that's because your vision is so important for every single thing you do. But yeah, that's absolutely true. I think everybody will tell you that needed glasses and then puts them on for the first time.
It's like, man, that TV I paid an extra $1,000 for, you know, high definition, it really is worth it now.
Yeah, and I may have not have had to buy that 83-inch TV. I could have stayed with my 65.
That's right.
But yeah, you're right.
A lot of wives are encouraging their husband to go to the eye doctor now instead of getting that TV for Christmas, saving some money.
Well, when you're not watching the TV, of course, if you see well, it benefits you in everything you do, whether your occupation, your business, your hobbies, watching your kids grow up, all those kind of things.
that story where they assume what they are seeing and the way they see is just how everybody sees. And they go most of their life into adulthood, maybe even into the 40s, seeing not so great. But yet, again, they assume everybody sees the same way. When they do get those glasses, I'm sure it does change a lot of lives. But do a lot of people do this?
Common example is that people having cataract surgery. Many people that have had cataract surgery will tell you, you know what, I know my eyes weren't quite the same, but I didn't think they were bad. And oftentimes the cataracts come on in both eyes. And so if you cover up one eye or another, you may not notice the difference. They both kind of see, you know, equally not as good. And so you think there's not a difference. You know, it's kind of like getting gray hair and wrinkles. You know, you go to your high school reunion and you're driving back in the car talking to your spouse saying, oh, man, did you see Joe? The years haven't been kind to him. And then Joe and his wife are driving home in their car and they say, oh, did you see Bill? Boy, he's had a tough life since I've seen him. You know, nobody really notices until there's a sudden change. And so when they have cataract surgery, then they're like, wow, there is a big difference. I didn't realize it. And that's a common statement.
This next one says, we have family coming over soon, and I know it'll happen again. It says here, my parents always joke with me because my daughter, one of three of my kids, is the only one with blue eyes in our family. And they always laugh and say, the milkman, and they leave it at that. But what is the reason for her blue eyes versus all of us having brown?
It's not the milkman. It's probably more likely the mailman.
That's right.
No. So the color of our eyes is determined by how much pigment is on the inside of our iris, and the heavier the pigment, the browner our eyes are. People who have no pigment, their skin is very white, they may have a reddish-colored or pinkish-colored iris color. Those who have a little bit are blue. Those that have a little more are blue-green. Those that have a little more have iris-colored eyes. And then you go into the honey and the brown-colored eyes. So that's determined by the amount of pigment, and the amount of pigment is genetically determined. Blue, without much, is on a recessive allele. You know how we have these dominant and recessive characteristics? People may remember that from school about whether they can curl their tongue or whether the lobes of their ears are attached or not to the side of their head. And there's other things as well. But this is determined by genetics. And if someone who has both the recessive and the dominant alleles on their genes, if they marry someone else who has the same thing, they may be green color, they may be brown color, because brown is a dominant one, but they have a 1 out of 4 chance, or a 25% chance, of having a blue-eyed child. And almost all of that's determined by genetics.
Interesting. And here's another interesting question. It says, when it got so cold recently, my 5-year-old complained that their eyes hurt outside in the cold weather. Is this simply because of the cold and my child is just experiencing it for the first time, or is there something to be more concerned about?
In order to detect pain, we have to have nerves present that are stimulated or irritated. And the nerves in the eye are typically in the iris, that colored part we were just talking about. And then there's tons of nerves on the outside of the eye. You know, two of the places where we have the highest density of nerves, I guess I should say three, is our surface of our eyes, our lips, and our fingertips. And everywhere else in our body, there's less density of these nerves that detect sensation to our skin and the surface of these places. And so you will notice an eyelash in your eye, and it'll stop you in your tracks. You'll say, wait, don't talk to me. I got to get this out. I got something in my eye. You know what I mean?
You're right. Yeah, it does stop you.
Boy, it just stops you because you got so many nerves firing that really bothers you. Now, if you have a dry eye problem, that stimulates the nerves too, because that's irritation. It'll also turn your eyes red typically. And when we go outside in cold weather, the relative humidity is much lower, and the wind crosses our eyes and dries it out further, just like wind across
the grass after it rains can dry it out faster. So a dry eye problem can be mild to moderately painful, and that may be what's occurring, but it's typically hardly ever due to temperature.
All right.
So that's the difference. And if you wear contact lenses, you're more sensitive to a dry eye problem at a younger age. Or if you have any of the many connective tissue disorders, lupus, arthritis, sarcoidosis, you know, there's colitis, there's a whole bunch of them, you're also more prone to have eye issues and a dry eye problem.
And again, our phone number, we may be about out of time. Let me fit this one in real quick here. It said, a couple of months ago, you were on the air and mentioned a prescription for something that helps grow your eyelashes. And I was curious as to what that was because I didn't write it down.
Yeah. So that's common. It's a prescribed medicine. It's Latisse. And it actually is a rebranded form of a glaucoma drop called Lumigan. The generic is latanoprost. There's also others called travoprost and travitan. And anybody that's on those glaucoma drops will have Maybelline lashes, like the Maybelline model on TV. They are long, dark, and luxurious. So they make a form of this medicine called Latisse, and you put it on a little Q-tip, and you put it across your upper eyelid where the lashes meet it, just like if you were putting on eyeliner. But you do it right before you go to bed, and you do it just the upper eyelid, and it kind of soaks down into the upper and the lower. And with 2 months, maximum of 4 months, you will have longer eyelashes that are darker and thicker.
So is there an age where eyelashes don't grow as much or something?
Yes. So eyelashes last about 2 months before they fall out. And anybody who pays a lot of money to get their eyelashes stuck onto their eyelids will tell you, you know, it lasts a couple months and they've got to go get it done that long or sooner. So they have that length of span. And then they'll also turn gray as we get older, just like our hair does. And they will also become fewer in number, just like our hair does, as we get in our 60s and 70s, and they become shorter. They're not as long and luxurious. But you can get that Latisse, and that will help it. And you need to talk to your eye doctor about that. And that will take care of your eyelashes. And let me just say before we go that anyone that wants to do something nice for someone this Christmas time, at the time of giving, if they're having any problems with their eyes and they're not seeing an eye doctor, or you know they should see an eye doctor, get them an appointment with a good eye doctor that's going to take time with them and take care of them. And that may be the very best present you could get them.
Excellent idea. And again, with us this morning, as we wrap up the show, Dr. Craig McCabe, online at McCabeVisionCenter.com. Dr. McCabe, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, and thanks for the wonderful questions. I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And when you're opening up those champagne bottles, make sure you open them up away from your face and others. Because every once in a while, there's a projectile cork that causes an eye injury, and we don't want to have those as well. So thanks, everybody. Be careful and have a Merry Christmas.
Sounds good. Talk to you next year. News is next right here on WGNS.